30.
It's about that time again, so pack your bags and get ready. Hitting the road with the best of friends, and you know that you're gonna rock steady. And gotta listen to your teacher when you're getting wasted by the beach again. You got Ballyhoo pumping in your stereo. This is the summer jam, so here we go. Say, jump out of line, start to unwind. Before you gotta get back to the grind, and don't waste a minute of your summertime. Sing it one more time.
Hello. Good evening. Well, good afternoon. How's it going?
It is officially afternoon now.
It's officially afternoon, and you know, and if you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, you are listening to The Stroll. And today is actually a special day because I'm here with my sister.
Hello.
As Steve calls her, Intern Al.
Is that what I'm called?
That is your name. That is what you have become known as.
We should have gave like a name tag or something. I didn't know about that.
Well, you also didn't apply for an internship.
I did not. Officially, at least.
And you haven't really done anything to earn.
I was just going to say, I don't really like belong here or deserve to be here. But thank you for having me.
Well, you know what it is, Al? You are really a bright.
From the interview that I had with you in my head.
Yeah, you are a bright, young, up-and-comer.
You know
and
what?
I thought you needed an outlet.
You're good enough.
For well, not bad. Good enough.
I'm good.
So yeah, so Steve is away this week, the flow. He is on his I guess his fourth vacation. No, I'm kidding. He's just having a family thing this week.
Taking a siesta.
I mean he's in Virginia, I believe. Well, it's basically the borderline of like DC, Virginia, like that stuff. He's at his brother's house. I'm not going to give you like the street and everything because you don't want to know who Steve's brother is.
I would show up there.
I actually got invited to the party. It's his brother's wife's birthday. So happy birthday to Caroline from the Stroll Show. If you guys are listening,
do you think Steve is listening?
Probably not. I'll say probably not.
Steve doesn't spend his vacation listening to Intern Al, who never
applies
for
a job.
It's
not really vacation. I just busting chops, but he's doing that. He's doing that up. So I figured, listen, we could have skipped another week, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. We just came back.
We could have also gotten a ban for today, but
well,
I might have like kind of screwed the pooch on that one.
It's not your fault because we actually have a lot of guests coming up in the next couple of weeks, so it's actually not the worst thing in the world that kind of easing back in to 2017.
You know what I could give to this show a little more perspective on the real deal, Paul. You know what I mean? If you really want to know, like, the The other side of the sea.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Like what? Like what?
There's just a lot that people don't know that I can reveal.
Like what?
Insider trading secrets.
But like, okay, what would it be that would be interesting enough that people would actually even care to know? I'm not that interesting to begin with. So it's not like people are going to be like, I got to know more about this man.
Well, it could be like, I could be part of your origin story to where you've gotten to today. But like,
where have I gotten to today?
This wonderful backdoor studio.
It's a basement.
It's really cool.
Thanks.
But you know,
thank you.
You're welcome.
I brought you here for what reason again?
to be part of a job that I didn't apply for.
Right. Well, you'll get your papers in the mail. Fine. We'll talk about this. I think because we want to talk. We're going to talk about probably. I don't know if our mom is listening, but there's been some weird things happening in our family the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And so I guess a family-ish overview.
Yeah.
I mean, I got nothing to hide.
And from kind of two perspectives.
What are you talking about? Like, what?
Because you have an outsider perspective of it now. From like what we're telling you and like mom telling you filtered through her craziness and then what actually happens that I've seen while being in the house. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So there's like the dichotomy of those
things.
Do you want to talk about mom and the poltergeist?
Well, I mean, just drop it. Like, they're supposed to tease. Alan Radio, you're supposed to tease. You lead in. You don't come out and say poltergeist. You build it up.
All right,
now it's just out there. Now it's a poltergeist.
Well, I don't know if they could decide for themselves if it's actually a poltergeist.
I'm actually kind of bummed Steve's not here for this episode because he'd be very interested in this because he's a big, he wants to get like ghost hunters on the show.
Really?
He really, he appreciates the paranormal. So,
call up Taps.
You've been with mom for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And we know that mom harbors a little bit of like grudges and sadness,
yeah.
Which we can know can, I mean, in the
should we break down what could possibly cause a poltergeist
for mom specifically or
no, just
in
general?
Okay,
for the listeners at home.
Well, this is what people say can do that.
But I also this is like not a scientific like I googled it. It's like when you have like a cold and you WebMD it and then all of a sudden you have cancer. It's like I googled like signs of hauntings and now I think that mom is a poltergeist.
But then you see haven't you seen enough like. Of those horrible ghost shows that never find anything to know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
I also there was a story that a teacher I had in Resurrection when I went to Catholic elementary school, and this teacher, Miss Olin.
Yes.
Miss Olin was a teacher who would wear thongs and no bra, and like she'd be nips and thongs out all day long.
How does that relate?
She was one of those teachers who was like alternative. You know,
but I'm
going to tell you why, because she read my class a story when I was in fifth grade. It's called The Bell Witch.
Uh-huh.
And it was about the Bell family.
OK.
Where there was the dad and the daughter, and the daughter started getting haunted, like abused by this entity, like was lifting her up out of bed, like by her hair and slapping her and stuff. And it turned out that it was a poltergeist that she'd manifested because her dad had raped her.
Oh shit!
So it was like the like turmoil and whatever from that made a poltergeist.
Okay,
because ghosts can't actually hurt you.
Ghosts can't. But poltergeists have this negative energy that can manifest itself in things such as scratches.
Yeah. Yes.
Which apparently our mother is claiming to have received, and we have seen these scratches. I haven't seen them like manifest out of nowhere, but she claims that. She got one on her stomach, and she like saw it happen, like a scratch. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know how true that is.
But I mean, okay. But still, regardless, it's weird that there's scratches on her stomach.
No, for sure. And it's weird because they're in threes,
right?
And that's threes are like, it's like counter to the Trinity, you know?
Yes, yes.
So
that's really creepy stuff.
No, it is. So and like, it's of all people for it to happen to, I'm not surprised that it's her.
Right. And she's saying also that there is some kind of mischievous element to this.
She called it a gremlin.
Yeah. That she'll like leave something down on the table. And this, you know, could just be mom going into some kind of dementia. I don't know.
Which is worse.
That's definitely worse. I'd rather it be a poltergeist, I guess. But so she leaves something on the table, like her phone or like her, you know, a lipstick or something. Yeah. And then she'll come back and then it won't be there. And then she'll go crazy looking for it. And then she'll come back and it was in the exact same spot where she left it.
But her reactions to it, I think, make it better. Like, I wish there were cameras not to catch the activity, but to catch mom's reactions to the activity.
Now, just to kind of round this out a little bit, last night, our cousin, Tom McDonough, came over.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right? We played this.
Shout out to Tom.
Yeah. Bless you, Tom, wherever you be on this Sunday. We were playing the werewolf game, the One Night Ultimate Werewolf, which actually, co-host Flig bought for me. Great gift. Really, really enjoying that game. And so we were playing, and it's kind of, I don't know, there was like a spooky atmosphere in general, right?
No, that game was a little creepy.
Right. Anyway, it's not like I felt anything, but Tom went to the bathroom.
Don't tell me Tom felt a ghost in the house.
Just listen. He comes back, right?
Yeah, he's got to chill. It's also cold in here.
Yeah, it's very cold. I mean, that's just going to be a theme. It's cold last week, too. So Tom is coming back from the bathroom, and he has to pass Mom and Dad's bedroom. And he's like, oh. And we're like, what, Tom? What's wrong? He's like, oh, no, I just saw something in there.
Stop it.
And he's like, oh, is Cleo in there? And I'm like, Cleo hasn't been on that bed because our little dog Cleo can't even get off her.
Cleo's got turkey legs now.
She can't even bend down to shit anymore.
She does. She can't get back up.
Yeah. That's horrible.
She's always prompt for a shit.
Old dog. She's like, what, 16 now?
16, yeah.
Horrible. Anyway.
She stinks.
But I knew as soon as Tom said, oh, there's Cleo was in there. I was like, it's not Cleo. And there was, you know, lights were all on. Everything, the door was open. So we could all see into it. And Tom said that he claims that he saw a hand.
A hand?
A hand. In our house, in the bedroom.
But like just like a floating, like I'm like
I don't know. I he didn't want to talk about
like
it.
Like a thing
hand?
He
didn't want to talk about it. But here's the thing. Of anybody who I would think would see something, for some reason, and if you knew our cousin Tom, you would know why I would say this, that Tom would actually see that. He would be the one.
Because they're so sensitive and childish, you know? Right. So if something's... That's... Because I feel like it goes after the weak, like kids that they right. usually go after. Oh, man. That's nuts. I don't want to go home now.
Well,
then Mom was also... All right, so she was having dreams, too, that... All right, well, this is kind of creepy. Okay, so she had this dream. This was the night that she got the scratches on her belly. So she went to bed, and she told me that she had this dream.
Wait, you know what? I feel like we need some spooky music.
Yeah, no, I was going to... You should put on the atmosphere music.
How do I let's see, how do you find spooky music on Spotify?
It's gonna be like Monster Mash.
Spooky music.
Did the mash. Do the Monster Mash.
Like, Halloween night. Spooky music by various artists.
I thought you were going to say something else.
by Queen.
By Varicose Veins.
Let's see if it works. This one is called Virgin Sacrifice.
Stop. I feel it. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
They start sacrificing her from the beginning. That sounds like the sacrifice.
Well, I mean, when your lead title is Virgin, it's Virgin Sacrifice. You got to come out the gate with it.
Jesus.
This one, oh my God, this one's in some kind of Latin. I can't even. Cantio Profanus.
You're going to summon that poltergeist into this room right now, and I'm going to carry it home with me.
This one's called Pure Evil. Predatory Swarm. What the hell is this?
I don't know. Do you think there's a job where you just sit around naming scary songs?
Wait. The evil ringmaster, creepy clown, the... I don't know what the is. I'm going to click on it just so I can see.
Is this a Spotify playlist?
Yeah. Oh, creepy clown theme.
Oh my God, this is the worst. This works, though. All
right, so tell the story.
Do you
now.
Feel like you could see like a walking doll coming to kill you with this?
Stop, Al. Just talk.
All right, sorry, I feel like I should talk in One night, Mom was laying in bed. All of a sudden, she started to dream.
There shined a shiny demon.
In the middle of the mall. And all of a sudden, she awoke. after having a dream that she was in the fucking forest or something, like in the tundra, and she woke up, no blankets. And with a shiver, she took one of the blankets off my father and went back to bed. Upon falling back asleep, she awoke into a dream where she was on a beach sweating to death.
Oh, you did tell me about this.
Someone was chopping at her feet with knives.
What?
I don't know from what direction
they
were coming.
She didn't say the knives part to me.
I'm thinking she was probably walking through a beach in Staten Island and just stepping on a whole bunch of the needles.
Broken glass.
And then she woke up in a sweat and realized she had 5 blankets on her. 5 blankets.
When she had none on her
previously. When she had none on her previously. How do you have 5 blankets in the house? On your bed? Like, where? What part of the bed are you sleeping on if it's all blankets?
I don't know. Yeah. Also, I'm not really appreciating this creepy clown theme as much anymore.
No.
Okay, well, we're back.
But that's hello. So she had 5 blankets on her. So, like, can you imagine a ghost just going and just, like, delicately placing 5 blankets on mom while she's asleep just to make her have a dream that she's on a beach?
I mean, I can't imagine it because I've seen movies. You know, I've seen, like, Paranormal Activity where, you know, you see blankets get taken off of you and shit happens.
Yeah.
But to think that would happen in real life, no, I can't imagine. Like, and the way that I'm sure, you know, mom and dad sleep, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, the thing that I'm worried about that I feel like I can't personally explain, you know, the thing that I've seen, I haven't seen the things where it's like someone's mischievously taking her objects and misplacing them.
Yeah, but that's almost like cute. That's like a,
right.
I could see like a nice playful ghost doing that, but anything that's scratching her.
That's the thing. That's the scratches that she doesn't know where they came from. And she claims that she saw them. And if I was there and I saw with my eyes that 3 scratches were manifesting out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's another word of the day. Manifest. Manifest, yeah. What was the other word of the day we talked about in the car?
Circumvent.
Circumvent. Because we took a weird route this morning to the studio. We're coming all the way from Marine Park, Brooklyn. Yeah. And usually I would come in from Bay Ridge. And like we usually take the opposite way. Like it's like we went exactly the opposite way to get to the same place.
It's
really
like,
weird.
It's like the outer like places of Brooklyn are just like cherry picked every day where they're going to be placed.
Well, you said that I liked your analogy before. It was kind of like because it was Harry Potter related.
Yeah.
Like it was like the changing staircase. Like Brooklyn just kind of like reverts to different spots.
You can get to the same place from like 10 different routes that seem to not ever.
It was like, wait a second, I could take Pennsylvania Avenue to Bushwick Cow.
What?
So I guess just to sum up the mom stuff, is there anything else to say on that? Because I don't know if I want to talk about this anymore.
Well, I mean, you don't got to go back to the home.
That's true, but those things can latch onto you, man.
But that's what I'm saying.
Those things can latch onto you.
Like, I think, though, like, it's only coming after her, and it makes sense because she's been known to have Peter Pan syndrome, is what they call it, where it's like, I don't want to grow up, I want to be a Toys R Us kid forever. So if anything is going to be attached to anyone, it's going to be her. And that's
I feel like me being there helped. Maybe she wasn't getting attacked while I was there this weekend.
Yeah, well.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing the joy into our hellhole.
Well, we were happy because we were playing games and laughing. So
yeah. Also, like then dad's not sitting on the couch watching ghost shows all night. I think that brings it in, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it could just be that projecting that thought onto mom.
You know what? Do you remember when all right. So I also think that it could have been the start of all this. Could have been the Ouija boards. I've been told that Ouija boards can open portals.
But when did we play with a Ouija board?
That was years ago. But that was all your fault too.
How?
Do you remember? All right. So the first question that we asked that Ouija board was, "When am I going to get a drum set?" It said Christmas.
Yeah, because dad was controlling it.
Was he? I don't know.
Yes, he was.
I don't know.
He was.
Well, whatever. We were using it. And then dad was trying to control it. And that probably got the spirits
it's
mad.
It's a board game.
Toys R Us.
A stupid ass board game. I've played that game a few times where you're just sitting there with your fingers on it and nothing happens.
Yeah, but I've just heard, I was the dark child and I heard that Ouija boards can open portals up into the house.
You were a dark child?
I wanted to be a Wiccan when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't kind of remember that.
You don't remember that?
You could have made that happen for yourself. You know that, right? Because you could have just walked down into the back weeds.
That's what I thought about.
Don't think about that.
Want to hang out with the homeless dude down there. So all right, we should explain that. The back weeds by where we live in pretty much a swamp.
What's a salt marsh?
Yeah, but it's a swamp. So across the street from it, and it smells all the time. There's
a lot of low tide smell.
A lot of low tide.
Sometimes.
There's a lot of like wildlife.
And then like certain times of the year, there'll be just shells all over the ground because like seagulls come around and like try to get the clams open or something. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. All I know is that there's dead horseshoe crabs there all the time.
Ugh. That attributes to the low tide smell. But yeah, so
anyway, I would just imagine myself going out into the forest or the swamp.
Well, I never really talked about this too much on the show because like, you know, Steve doesn't really know, like he didn't grow up in that area. So like, we don't really talk about that much. But like, you know, by where we grew up is Marine Park, Garrison Beach. It basically is just like a one strip straight down to a dead end where there's literally like, nowhere else to go but down and the beach, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot of, I don't know, watery kind of atmosphere down in down where we grew up. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're getting a text from my dad.
Yeah, I got that text too.
Saying that mom wants to call. And I think we brought this upon ourselves.
Did kind of too. Are we gonna let mom call?
I'll think about it.
All right.
It's
hard as us together for the first time like this to not talk about our family though, because they're just so entertaining that it's. And I feel like
I think we made mom mad.
I think so too. I think she needs to say her piece on it. We need to let mom defend herself.
I don't know if I want I want that to be like on the on record forever. I'm not sure if I want that.
What?
Mom. Like mom yelling at us on live thing on a show that I have to again host.
Come back to
later on.
You should tell them to text us and then we can screen it.
Yeah. Let's maybe change the subject here. Let's play a little song. We're really into it's a band called Pine Grove right now.
Oh, awesome! Yeah.
And you guys really got that song stuck in my head.
Which one?
Old Friends.
Ooh.
And they played with Kevin Devine, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing their own show, right? Where's that show that you were trying to see them at that got sold out like instantly?
Oh, they're playing Bowery Ballroom, and it's in April, and it sold out in like 30 seconds, and I was in shock because I didn't think that they would be that popular, but I guess.
I mean, it happened.
I don't know. It did, and now the tickets are on StubHub for like $60.
I think you could wait to probably the last minute and get them.
That's just egregious, though.
I wouldn't be surprised.
$60 for...
But look, I had similar issue trying to get tickets for Mountain Goat show, and I paid like twice what it was. I paid like it was like $25 ticket. I paid 50 something on StubHub, and then one of my friends decided he wanted to go that day, and he got tickets for $14, like literally an hour before the show.
There was a guy that I used to work with I worked at Zumik for a while, this music magazine, and this dude would just show up at shows every night, like MSG shows, like legitimate shows, and just sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
And he got into all these shows for free every day. Like he was at a show every night.
Ugh.
And it was like this dude. And he was like the weirdest dude, but he was cool because he was doing things that I can never do.
He was the weirdest dude, but like
it was the best.
It was cool.
It was awesome.
So let's play this song. This is called Old Friends by Pine Grove. It's one of my favorite new jams. Let's listen to it. If you're listening to the Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, we'll be back maybe with some more rantings from my mom after this.
Walking outside labyrinthian over cracks along under the trees. I know this town ground
in
a compass. Cardinal landing in the dogwood. Keep going over it over and over. My steps iterate my shame. How come every outcome such come down? Lately afternoon with the shades drawn down. Kept saying I just wanna see it. Saying what's wrong with that? Needle shaking outlines in a compass. Every outcome such a come down. I knew 12, so I averted my stride on a quick one. It's coming back from going over your place, huh? I feel like we could forget about it. I feel like I could mellow out. I don't feel undone in a big way. There's nothing really bad to be upset about. When I thought I was getting better, I woke up on the ground. An appointment or disappointment, set back on. Springtime, needling my way home. I saw Leah on the bus a few months ago. I saw some old friends at her funeral. My steps keep splitting my grief through these solipsistic moods. I should call my parents when I think of them. Should tell my friends when I love them. Maybe I should have gone out a bit more when you guys are still in town. I got too caught up in my own shit. How every outcome's such a come down. And I knew it when I saw it. Oh, I did just go to want it. So
I enjoyed that song.
That song is in my head like all the time.
So maybe do a little about face.
Okay. I feel because
this is it's dangerous when you're hosting a show, right? And you know, this is usually a music show. I'm trying my best to just make this something that can be listenable so that we don't have to not have a show for the week. Mm-hmm. I like to if I have my engagements, I like to make my engagements, mm-hmm. right? I don't like to leave Radio Free Brooklyn at the altar, so to speak. I want to deliver the goods as goodly as I can.
Oh, leave it at the, okay, I get you.
Get a bad joke, not a great joke, yeah. Sorry. Little misfire right there. Kind of like the beginning of our show was a misfire.
Sure.
I think we should just pretend that none of that happened. Let's
whitewash it.
Let's whitewash it. Right? We're both white.
Yeah.
We can do that.
We're in Bushwick.
Oh, God. All right. Starting now, we can whitewash. Yeah. So we don't want anybody to think our mother is crazy.
She's not crazy.
Telling funny stories that we have. It's not easy. And I'm speaking to you now, Mom. It's not easy to fill an hour of show.
We took a little responsibility, I did at least, for bringing the Ouija board into the house in the first place. So in a way, I'm blaming me. So it's not your fault.
You actually blamed me?
Well, yeah.
Because you said it was my fault because I brought the Ouija board into the house?
That might have been a collective
effort.
Which
was also like 15 years ago or something?
Yeah, things linger, man.
Maybe, do you have to let it linger?
You do have to. Cranberry said it right.
Let's talk a little bit about something else that happened to me this week.
Okay.
I like to do a little bit of like the oh shit moments of the week, right? That's what I do, right? It's part of my things. I'm trying to make it like a thing. I'm trying to get a drop.
It's what I do.
You press it and it's like, oh shit.
Is that the official sound effect?
It's officially, it's officially unofficial. So usually it's like something music related. Usually it's something like, I don't know. Oh, I see a movie. Like, I can't believe that dude's in that movie. Like, oh, maybe like something that just makes you like, it either be like an oh shit.
Yeah.
Or like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Or like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
Like if you were about almost got in a car accident, you would say, oh shit.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. It depends on the kind of person you are.
Well, I literally said oh shit this week
because
of something stupid I fucking did. Not surprising to anybody who knows me. I'm a fucking spaz, and that's why I don't leave my house. That's why I'm afraid to be social with people, because I know no matter what happens, I am going to do something embarrassing.
You're an explosive man.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's going to be embarrassing, and it's going to be something that I immediately regret, mm-hmm. right?
You're a cannonball.
Okay, thanks.
The wrecking ball.
Basically, I signed up for Japanese classes in my job, right? I work for a company that offered free classes of Japanese, mm-hmm. right? I thought, you know what? I haven't been in a classroom kind of environment in a long time. I wanted to kind of, I don't know, work my brain out a little bit. I've been doing the same job for a long time. I wanted to try to better myself.
Yeah. You went to Japan once.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been working in a company with a lot of Japanese people for mm-hmm. many years now, and I want to be able to communicate with them a little better. What's wrong with that?
And I think, you know, your cannonball mentality might need to be a little more focused. And I think that the Japanese way is a very focused and zenned out.
That's true. It's true.
They're always smiling. They seem very positive.
That's true. Yeah. Well, my teacher actually said, like, she was yelling at people because when we were saying these greetings, mm-hmm. Like Ohio is like good morning, right?
Ohio.
Or something. I can't remember them all right now. I didn't do my practicing exercises. I was gonna do it tomorrow when I had the day off. But so there's like certain phrases that you say when you're like really thanking somebody more than arigato, which is like thank you, mm-hmm. right? But there is other phrases that are just like, thanks for your support. It's like something like more than just like, thank you. It's like, I can't do this without you. Like,
I wish you could see Paul's hands right now. He is expressing so fervently.
But that's what the teacher was doing. That's what the teacher was doing. So anyway, the point is, she was saying you have to smile, right? Uh-huh. And even if you're like sitting, you can't slouch. If you say this, and first of all, you're not even supposed to say hello to somebody sitting. If you're meeting somebody, you stand up and you do a full fucking bow. Like a bow.
Yeah.
Right? Like you do like a little bow, the other person does a little bow, and then you say the thing together and you both bow.
They're probably the most limber people because of that.
Maybe that's why they have no stomachs, because they're always
core.
But it's actually kind of a beautiful thing of like respect.
It's like ceremony.
Yeah,
it's like
it really
a ceremonious
is.
Thing. Talking and to it, somebody is not just.
But it's so interesting how it's rooted in like their past. You know, like they really respect where their values come from and their history comes from. So but that's not the point. Point is, all I'm trying to do is go out of my comfort zone, right? Do something different.
Yeah.
Right. Try to learn. Trying
and
to learn
something elegant.
Right.
Too.
I'm feeling a little lost in my life. I feel like I need a little bit of direction, right? I thought maybe if I go to Japanese class, it'll kind of like get me back in the school going mode. Maybe I'll go back to school, get my master's degree, which is like the big freaking, like, it's like...
It's the bachelor's degree of 2017.
Yeah, it's like the master's degree is, it's just another, you know, no offense to anybody who has a master's degree. Obviously, you worked hard for it. I'm not saying that I don't want one.
Yeah.
I think maybe my career would go differently if I had one, right?
But what are you going to get it in?
That's what I'm saying. So I need a little bit of guidance. That's all I'm saying. Maybe if I continue on this path, maybe I can get something that will relate to a job that I'm currently
maybe
doing.
Maybe you could become a Japanese ambassador.
Never know. You know, when I went to high school, one of the people who graduated from my high school went on to be the mayor of a city in Japan, and that's how we wound up going to Japan.
How does that happen?
I don't know. And it's really weird because he's been there for so long and he had like assimilated to the culture so much that like he almost started to like look like Japanese.
I was just thinking that and imagining you looking like just changing your whole way of being.
Yeah.
And as you see Paul again and he's just, oh, that's Japanese.
Well,
Paul,
you just
now
start assimilating to the culture, you know,
like you become like an anime character.
There's some Japanese people that come to this country that I work with that, I mean, if you talk to them, you'd just think they were American.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in whatever, but I really get along with them. I feel like they respect me enough to learn
you're a sensitive man.
I am very sensitive.
So it's
good. It's not just because my nips are hard.
It's because it's very cold in here.
It's cold in here. That has nothing to do with my sense. I am sensitivity to the cold. That's also true. So let me just set the scene. I know I'm building this up for a little too long, but you know what? We got time.
Mm-hmm. Time to kill.
So get to the class. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of nervous. Because I haven't been to a class in a long time. I'm kind of like freaking out. Like, remember when you started school for the first time when you went back to get your master's degree?
I wanted to quit instantly.
Right. So exactly. So I get in there and I sit down and I'm like, whoop, I'm done. And I just want to like just back out of the room.
You're like, mush, mush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get your bows, backing out.
Yeah, basically that's how I felt. Mm. And then one of my coworkers there was my friend, and I was just like, okay, I'll sit next to them. We start talking, and then all of a sudden the class is like beginning, right? And my biggest fear, especially in a class where you're like learning a language, is of like interaction. Mm. Because the best way to truly learn a language is to talk it with somebody.
Yeah.
Right? That's why it's like, it's really weird. Like some of the people that, and in Japan, it's a little different. Like they learn how to write it. So you like learn the, like they're better at like writing an email than speaking to someone directly. That's... Like it's really weird. Like they can write the most beautifully worded email or whatever, and it makes so much sense. And then when they try to come and talk to you about the email they send, it's like if they don't, it's not as easy to.
It makes so much sense about their culture though, when you say that.
But I think the opposite is true of America, right? Like we would rather like talk about it in person or whatever, and it's easier for us to kind of pick it up
if we're
awful hearing
writers.
I mean, America, yes.
Yeah.
Like they can write great in American, in English or whatever, and in Japanese.
Yeah.
Which is totally different. You're writing with kanjis and all these characters and stuff.
There's a whole thing with Japanese people. I don't know if it's how true it is, but there's a thing where they're not like getting relationships because they just have trouble communicating with each other. Like that's so weird that Japan, that government mandated dating is happening there.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
The government sets up like dating days.
I got to ask someone in my job about that to see if they know of anybody who's been doing that, because it's interesting.
Super interesting.
But anyway, this is about me. Damn it.
Sorry.
So the class starts, and the reason why I'm nervous is because I have fear of interaction with people I don't know. My company is very big.
You're like a Japanese person, Paul.
Basically. Maybe that's why I fit in so well.
Look at that. Found your place in the world.
But basically, I have to sit next to somebody I don't know eventually. Mm. And they pair us off. And we're like learning how to basically say, you know, good morning. How are you? I am Paul. Basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all written up on the board. So you're able to like look over and kind of do it. So I do the thing. And like you're supposed to smile. Like the teacher is like, if you're not smiling, it's almost like she's gonna whip you with a bamboo stick or something. Like it's crazy. And we do the thing. I say my part. I can't remember exactly what it is. I know I could see it in my head, but I can't pronounce it, so I don't want to butcher the Japanese language live on air right now. Mm. But basically, it's like I say something, and then I bow. Right? I do the bow.
Does it say on the board bow? Like in parentheses, like
she,
bow.
Yeah, she writes in big red letters, bow.
Maybe that's why they don't talk to me about it, because that sounds like it's so stressful. You're like, there's so much movement and emotion.
Sometimes it's funny because like I even see this in my office where I work. There's a lot of over bowing. It's almost like that weird interaction, like where you don't know who's going to say something first.
Like you're all just like half bowing.
Yeah. So like you just see a lot of like bowing back and forth.
Yeah.
Like you see that a lot.
Like you're like a wacky waving inflatable tube, man. Like but you just don't know what to do with your body.
even my teacher kind of like mentioned that. And it's like, that's just like, it's almost like a weird awkwardness of like, if you don't know the person that well or something, but it should be like, you do a slight bow, the other person has a slight bow, and you do a full bow together.
That's so stressful.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're doing it your whole life, I mean, it should be second nature, but even people, you know, of that culture, it's like when you overthink a handshake and like, you go for a handshake, but then you go. The person goes in for a hug or something.
Or when like someone says like, "How are you?" and you're like,
"Tomorrow."
Anyway, well, I'll get continue.
Yeah. Or they'll say, "How you doing?" Nothing.
Or like that one time, there was a guy in my building who every day he always says, "How you doing?" to me, and like I'm just so used to responding to that one day he was like, "Hi, how are you?" and I short-circuited. I was like, "I'm good. What happened?" Yes, I said every greeting besides one that matched what he said to me.
I've done it too. But so this is kind of a relatively similar. In my head, I don't know if maybe culturally it's the same thing, but that overbowing thing kind of is similar to that, I think. But anyway, point is, now it's the other guy's turn. Mm. He's going to do it to me. He's going to say the words, right? Mm. He's going to do the bow, right? And I'm not used to somebody bowing to me, right? So I'm not thinking. I'm not thinking about my own body.
No.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm not thinking about like what I'm...
What do I do with
what
my
I'm
hands,
supposed to do, you know? And so, and I'm awkward. I am not socially well adjusted.
Mm-mm.
In these kind of situations, in the right scenario, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But in this scenario where I'm in this corporate setting where I'm getting a Japanese lesson, I have to speak to this stranger in another language. Inside, I have this pit. This pit. It's like James and the Giant's Peaches pit is in my stomach, and I feel like just horrible. And I'm just like, I want to make this
bow over it.
Right. No, but here's the thing. It's like when I'm in that scenario, I want to try to make the situation as comfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Not even for anybody else, but for myself. I'm trying to make myself comfortable, and I convince myself if I do this, he'll feel comfortable too.
Yeah.
You know? So what happens is he bows, and I kind of forgot that he was going to bow because I'm not used to someone doing that to me.
Uh-huh.
So like without really thinking about it and trying to like make the situation less awkward, which maybe he didn't think it was awkward. Maybe it's just my fault. Yeah. Maybe it's just
me. Sometimes when you overthink that too, then you just make things ultra awkward.
Imagine, and this is all happening within literally 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So all these motions are like in my brain, right? And I'm thinking that, and so what happens? I spaz. He bows. I forget that he's going to bow, and I go to like say, like give him a little thumbs up, like this guy's good or something like that, and I hit him directly in the face.
What I thought you were going to say is that you both bowed at the same time and headbutted.
That was close to happening.
That's awful.
But look, we were very close together. Like we shouldn't have had to. This guy was doing a full fledged like I was the emperor of Japan.
Yeah.
Like he was going down and I didn't expect that. So like his head just coming here and I went to go like this guy's good to nobody because who's listening to me? Who am I saying that to? Why did I decide to say that? I'm a fucking idiot. And so I hit him almost directly in the eye with my thumb. And he comes up like, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know how to say that in Japanese yet.
You like ruined the ceremony of the entire thing.
You took
all the respect out of it.
I proved.
Did you like get kicked out? What did they do with you afterwards?
I mean, luckily no one else saw it.
Oh, all right.
But he was nice about it. And then I just avoided him for the rest of the class.
Because
I was
out.
desperately.
He's probably terrified of you at this
I
point.
Was terrified of myself. I was terrified of the situation. I was terrified of him. I was terrified of my own hands. I just wanted to keep my hands in my pocket.
You know, maybe you shouldn't go to Japan. Like you're just going to be poking eyes out.
It ruined my entire day.
I'm not surprised.
It ruined my entire day. So I literally, as I said it, I was like, oh, shit. So that was my oh, shit moment of the week, everybody.
I enjoyed that.
All right, we'll play another song and then we'll come back. Maybe Al will have her oh shit moment of the week and then we'll wrap it up.
All right.
What do you want to play, Al? Actually, you know what? Let's play a song from a band that we have coming on the show next week. This is a band called, have you heard of Hot Mulligan?
No.
I'm pretty sure they're coming on next week. Let me just double check our schedule real quick. Steve went on a booking frenzy. He was booking like a maniac. So we have like the next almost like over a month totally booked thanks to Big Boy Flig and his amazing work. Yeah, so next week is Hot Mulligan. They've recently toured with Modern Baseball.
What?
Which is how we found them. They're from, I believe they are from Michigan.
They toured Modern Baseball?
Yep.
Awesome.
Lansing, Michigan.
All about that mobo.
Actually, maybe because I know one of the bands toured with Modern Baseball. Like
at this point, though, all these bands, they're so incestual at this point.
They're just in like that kind of grouping of bands. There's a lot of bands. They toured with a band called Kayak Jones. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
They're on a record label called Savior Generation Records. They're good. I like the name too. Hot Mulligan.
Hot Mulligan's good.
So they're from Lansing, as I said before. I'm just stalling so I could find it on the online. This actually is a pretty cool song. It's a reference to a Mario song, a Mario game. The Mario game, Mario.
That one Mario game.
Yes.
With that little guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
He runs around.
This one's called "I Fell in Love with Princess Peach" by a band called Hot Mulligan. So stay with us. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Stroll Show with
Al.
Intern Al is here today, and we'll be back after this.
Stop being selfish. I do what I can, but it's chemical. There are just some things you can't change, like the color of your eyes or how your hair parts to one side. Now
please don't tell me to change. I'm more than content living this way, and I hope someday that you will feel the same about me. If you could change anything, please just stay the same, because I love everything about you. It's a kind of
Yeah, Hop Mulligan.
That was pretty hot.
Did you like that? Did you enjoy that?
I did enjoy that.
You did?
I did. I will check them out again post-show.
Post-haste, post-show?
Yeah, post-show.
So kind of wrapping up. We got like 10 minutes left. What would you say is your hot take of the week? Your oh shit.
My oh shit. Okay, well, I mean, I did see La La Land.
Oh, I'm interested in hearing talking about that, because I feel like this is like the typical... You know, like, remember when the artist won Best Picture
that
year?
Yeah, it's totally the same thing.
It's like, yeah, the Hollywood stroking there.
White people dancing.
Vinegar strokes.
No, yeah. And
onto people.
It was a movie. Like, I don't understand why. Like, I get why it's going to win all these awards, but it doesn't need to.
But what about it made you think that it's going to win all those? Like, what made you say, oh, I understand, I see. Because it's, like, well made.
It's movies. It's Hollywood sucking its own dick.
Right.
That's why.
Right. It's just literally like songs busting out for no reason.
It's like meta, and it's like different.
It's like a movie about a movie.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's not like hidden like Fences or whatever, and Hidden Figures, right? Those are about like events that happened. So it's not like the creative process around it is not, I guess, as great, because no one's creating that. It happened. You know, you're just reporting back on things.
But
or whatever.
I think that maybe they'll give like maybe Best Actor to like.
Yeah, no, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone did not deserve any awards for that movie.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, like, I mean, I think it's like, it gets to a point, just kind of like with Leo last year, like, they just needed to give it to him.
Yeah.
Like, I think Gosling is on that level. Like, I mean, he really has been around long enough and done enough cool movies, and, like, he never really strayed into, like, because I'm sure he could have been in any movie he wanted. He could have been Batman, he could have been Green Lantern, he could have been, you know what I mean?
He's almost too cool for that, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but yeah. He respected his own career. Now, he made really cool movies, The Place Beyond the Pines. I watched that on the plane one time
and
when I was going to Europe.
Like, Half
really
Nelson
good.
Was really great, too,
mm-hmm.
and whatever. So, I don't know, it was good, but
I'm
it was
just saying, they could
not...
be blessing him with one, just because. You know what I mean? And then to top it all off, he made this Hollywood, you know, Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the old days of Hollywood.
No. That's exactly
like that.
What it was. Everyone, there was just constant jazz hands.
I'm doing
all
jazz
the time.
Hands.
I do have a better
control myself.
And he looks good. This is the problem though with you. So you're just waving around all the time, smacking Japanese people in the face.
That is an issue. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hit
your
you, my
friend. Your movements
friends.
Right now are proving to me why this happens. I have a better moment though.
Just for the record though, I didn't hit a Japanese person in the face, so it wasn't as bad.
It was an accident.
It was another student in the class who was not Japanese. So, hey, just saying.
Need to clarify.
So what's your oh shit? I want to hear it.
It's not as good as yours, man. I feel like
I should have closed out the show with that.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. Well, because mine was in like dream space. Mine was all Twitter based. So I love Mike Birbiglia. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. And he
now,
works...
Did you first hear about him when he was on Orange Is the New Black or no?
No,
you knew about before that.
No,
when he came on that, you were like, oh shit, he's on this.
Yeah, I knew.
So that
I knew.
Was an oh
I knew.
Shit
yeah, I'm oh, deaf yeah, for sure. I knew about him from Chris Gethard because Gethard. Is a comedian also from UCB who has like a podcast.
We've talked about him on the show.
Yeah. I'm a very big Chris Gethard goon.
We had Mikey Erg on the show who was in the Chris Gethard band that was played his
yeah, I actually was at the show that the Ergs played at when they played on Chris Gethard's show.
Wow. Yeah. It really good actually.
It was awesome. But
really
so
good.
They're buds pretty much. And then they're buds with Ira Glass from This American Life and they all talk and stuff. So I listened to a podcast and it was You Made It Weird, Pete Holmes' podcast. Mm-hmm. And he had Birbiglia on. And he said, he quoted him and he said, the quote was, if you're not telling secrets, why bother or something like that? Like, who cares? If you're not telling secrets, who cares? So I heard that and I was like, oh shit, that's true. Like, artistically and creatively, like you gotta reveal yourself, man.
It made you go, oh shit.
And you go, oh shit. Right, and it's like a podcast. I'm walking a dog at this point. Like I'm sitting on
and
a bench.
It just stops you in your tracks. Like, yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah. Like I the world opened up to me in that moment. And it
that's
was
cool.
Real. So I tweeted it and I tagged him and I was like, Birbiglia, like making me see life like in a new way, whatever. And then he liked it on Twitter. So extra oh shit. So I was like, oh shit, you know. Yeah. And then I reread what I wrote, and I fucking misquoted him. And I said, if you're not tell secrets, who cares?
That is not phonetically correct.
It's not.
Or grammatically.
And
whatever.
I part of me kind of feels like he only liked it ironically because it was wrong. Because
you're dumb?
Because I'm dumb.
And did that make you go, oh shit, when you realized that you fucked up the tweet?
I hit three oh shits in that one. In that one.
See,
story.
Actually, maybe technically yours is better because you covered the entire gambit of oh shit.
I had all the kinds of oh shit.
Mine was just the oh shit, like, oh shit, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yours was like, oh shit, I'm sorry for fucking that up.
Mine
oh shit, I'm an idiot.
Mine was like a profound oh shit. Then like an excited oh shit and like a disappointed oh shit.
That is really the tricolor pasta of oh shits.
And also, like you said, it was like a 3 minute interval. Mm-hmm. That was like 3 minutes of my life.
Well, mine was in 3 seconds. That happened in my head.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And that's when you spaz. I'm learning about myself actually from talking about this because mm-hmm. you realize when you overthink things, because I tend to do that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
All the time. I do it all the time.
Me too.
Even when I'm playing like a board game, I could be sitting there and like, okay. If I move this way, then that will happen, and then that will happen. And
then you already play way. The most complicated board games in all fucking
yeah.
land.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't want to be a spaz anymore. I want to fix myself. That's why I'm going to therapy.
I'm gonna fix myself.
Trying. Anyway, so.
Can I just use it as a moment to Twitter? Please find a way for me to edit my tweets afterwards.
They don't have that option.
You can't edit tweets.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive. I even Googled it afterwards because I wanted to delete it and like fix it because it's so sad that
but like,
I misquoted
them. If you deleted it, then you would have lost
the like.
Right.
So I didn't delete it. But if I could have edited it, it would have been fine. Even though he'd be liking, if he had liked it ironically, then it would have gone. He wouldn't have been able to do that again.
I'm sorry that happened to you, Al.
It was a little bit of a bummer.
So anyway, to wrap up. If we're talking about Twitter, mm. you want to plug your Twitter? Would you like anybody to follow you? Maybe.
I mean, if you want to see my random rantings and more, my no.
Al is very entertaining on Twitter. I will say that. I don't go on Twitter very much, but you're like one of the only people I follow because I just don't use the Twitter.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
Thanks. It's at Allison is cool 16 on the Twitter.
You could tell you made that when you were literally like 13.
Uh huh. Now it's just waiting to be 16.
Twitter was very is very. Like it's been around for a long time now. You don't realize it.
Yeah, but I get time hop things now of things I said when I was like 17, and I'm just like
it's
embarrassed.
Bad. Yeah, it's like maybe you shouldn't have been on Twitter at that age.
There's too much documentation.
But there's a lot of kids that shouldn't be on Snapchat probably at this day and age in their age currently, right?
We could have went on a whole thing about Snapchat.
Well, we'll save it for next time. We will have intern Al back. That's for sure. And I enjoyed having you here, my sister, other than the fact that we pissed off our mother.
Yeah, well, luckily you don't have to go home to it.
Yeah, that's true. But
sorry, Mom.
I know that I will be receiving a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And we love our mother, that's for sure.
Very much.
And we meant no ill will. We just thought it was kind of funny. And maybe someone out there will hear this and they will be able to come and rid the house of the poltergeist.
Yeah, if the one exists. About it.
You know, I just think it's funny that the story was kind of half corroborated by the fact that our cousin saw a hand in their room, a hand which would scratch, right? Scratch.
Oh man, I didn't even think of that.
I'm just saying.
Oh man.
So anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Really appreciate it. Wherever Steve is out there, may he be safe on his journey home back to Brooklyn. And we'll be back next week with the band Hot Mulligan. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. So please stay with us. And if you have a couple of extra shekels to throw in our little tip jar, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. And you can donate to our Patreon account. You can go to patreon.com/radiofreebrooklyn. And if you give something, you're going to get something. You give a dollar, you're going to get a handshake.
You get what you give.
Well, I mean, there are gifts. There's like, you know, you donate a few bucks, you might get a t-shirt, you might get a button, you might get a sticker, you might get a howdy doody. You don't know. You don't know what you're going to get. Go on the website. The website knows. And find out
mystery
there.
Mystery howdy doody.
Everybody wants a howdy doody.
You know, howdy doody every day.
It's like, oh, you get a little howdy doody.
It's a little daily howdy doody.
And that's pretty much it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Al.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Appreciate it. Saving my ass today. Oh. And also costing my ass because my mom is going to, our mom is going to, nah, she's not. She's not that mad. She's cool about it. She'll be cool. So we'll be back next week again with Hot Mulligan. Thanks everybody for joining. And of course, as I always say every week, Vinny. Want to ask Vinny if he's up?
Vinny, you up?
It's about that time again, so fast.